Thank you, God, for your word. Let it minister to our heart and spirit. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and the great gift you've given us. What great background it is to the birth of Jesus. So many messages here and miracles. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Every one of us should have it underlined, verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. That's a great verse. We are covering the events surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ last week and this week. Our Lord and Savior. Last week we covered John the Baptist, the forerunner to Jesus, the one who prepared the way to receive Jesus, the Messiah. You know, and the events we covered this week and last week, we see many miracles. Many miracles. Our God is a God of miracles. You remember last time in Luke 1, verse 6 and 7, concerning Elizabeth and Zechariah, the parents of John the Baptist, it said, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. They were in an impossible situation, but guess what? She conceived and bore a son, John the Baptist, because with God, nothing is impossible. Isn't that great? Nothing is impossible. You notice, though, in verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, righteous. They were a godly couple. Even though she was barren, they had wanted a child, he continued with his priestly duties. They did not give up on the Lord. They did not get bitter. They were a godly, righteous couple. That's the way we are to be. No matter what the circumstances in our life, that's what God wants. There's no excuse for not worshiping and loving the Lord. You see, so we covered that couple and quite a miracle there. And today we covered the events of Joseph and Mary. And next week, Jesus himself. Come next week because Jesus is going to be born. And we see in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, when it says in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of her cousin Elizabeth's pregnancy, which we read about last week, Elizabeth. So in her cousin Elizabeth, in her sixth month, the angel came to Mary and had a message for her. Gabriel is God's messenger. And he was sent to this place called Nazareth. Now, that wasn't a great neighborhood. Nazareth was not considered an important part of the national and religious life of Israel. They're in Galilee, and a secluded area, a frontier town. It had a bad reputation in moral and religion. And the people had a crude Galilean dialect. Hey, they were hill people up there in Nazareth. People didn't think too highly of people up in Galilee, up in Nazareth. Let's turn to John chapter 1. Please. John 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Wow. When he went to be with the Lord, I wonder if Jesus said, "Hey, did anything good come out of Nazareth?" You know, we were raised, both my wife and I, in a small town and back in Massachusetts, and People wonder, can anything good come out of that area? Well, my wife did. And, you know, this is the kind of place it was, like up in the sticks. And we even have it in the Bible. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus came to die for sinners, losers and winners. That's who he came for. He came for us. We needed a Savior. Yeah, something good came out of Nazareth. I think it's significant. He wasn't born in Jerusalem and, you know, a great royal family. But he was born in Nazareth. Delivered in a stable, in a manger. Anyone on earth can identify with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? No one too lowly. So no matter where we're from or what background, God chooses people to come into his kingdom. Anyone who will choose him. In verse 27, this angel came to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel was sent to this virgin girl. She was betrothed to Joseph, and they're of the house of David, the line of kings, and her name was Mary. So today we cover two characters of the Christmas story, Joseph and Mary. She was betrothed. It was much more serious than our engagement. We get engagements and it's nothing to break off engagements. And it was more serious. It was a promise, a commitment to Mary. And it took a legal document to break it off. So it was a kind of a serious thing. You're going to marry this woman. Mary was a godly woman living pure. And we're going to see that here. And God has chosen her for this big event. And we see in verse 28, having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." She didn't expect anything great to happen to her in this place up there in Nazareth and ordinary life. And just one day, this angel, Gabriel, comes to her and says, "You're a highly favored one with God." The world maybe doesn't think much of people in that area. He said, "The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." Just going about her normal duties, everyday life, and God picks her out. See, that's the way God works. He uses ordinary, or even less than ordinary people to do his work. He just picks them out. He favored her to bring in this child. God uses his instrument. He says, "Blessed are you." It was every mother's dream in Israel to bear the Messiah. And Mary is chosen. They were all looking for the Messiah, the Savior, and here's Mary. She's been shown favor by God. The Lord is with her. But she's a virgin, and she's not sinless or to be worshipped. And I'm sure she would be the first to acknowledge that, because the Bible tells us there's none without sin. But the Lord has blessed her, and the Lord has blessed us. And he's favored her, and he favors us. And no doubt this was a great honor for her to bear this Christ child. But as the angel came, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered, "What manner of greeting is this?" I can't imagine if an angel comes to you and tells you all you're highly favored, that's got to blow you away. Anyone here ever seen an angel and come talk to you? There never is anyone in the audience. You know, but here she is, Mary. So she's troubled and considered, you know, what is he telling me here? I'm blessed. She was troubled. You know, we saw that in earlier when Zacharias was troubled when he was told this. And what kind of greeting is this? She's thinking about in verse 29. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Don't worry, Mary, nothing's wrong. You know, if I'm going to find favor with anyone, I want it to be with God. You may not fit into the world. You might feel like a misfit or odd. You might feel different or out of place. And you know, when you get talking seriously to other people, you know what you find? They feel the same way. Everyone has that in them. We kind of feel like we don't fit or out of place or something's wrong or I just wish I was like them. You know what? If you were like them, you'd be thinking the same thing. That's the way life is. Why? Because we don't fit here. We fit in with the Lord. Our home isn't here. It's in heaven. You know, and she's wondering, what kind of greeting is this, you know? Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Gabriel brings her comfort. Don't worry. There's nothing wrong. Maybe she's thinking, boy, am I busted. There's an angel coming to get on me, you know? He says, don't worry. Don't be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. You know, if I'm going to find favor with anyone, I want it to be with God. Maybe the world doesn't accept you or doesn't look favorably on you or you don't fit in or you feel like you don't fit in. That doesn't matter. Do you fit in with the Lord? And if you know him and you're born again, you do. You're his child and you're precious in his sight. And he has great life for you and great plans for you. We're favored. And he tells her in verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and you will bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. That's a lot to get hit with in a few seconds. You know, somebody gives you some news and you kind of have to think it over and what are they really saying? She doesn't have much time here. There's an angel. Then all of a sudden, you know, you have found favor with God. You're going to conceive in your womb. You're going to bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Wow. That's a lot in a little while, hard for the mind to take in. You're going to bring forth a son, not Joseph and Mary's son, but a son. And we're told here, you will call his name Jesus. That's neat to be able to have the name, but so you don't have to think about it. You know, it's nice. You don't have to go, well, what do you want to call this baby? Well, what do you want to call this baby? And you get the books and you look it all up and you're trying to find a name for the baby. It's nice to be told, hey, I have already got a name for you, Mary. You're going to call him Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Isn't that wonderful? It's right in his name, what he came to do. And you found favor with God. You're going to have a son and call his name Jesus. And he will be great. Well, that's an understatement. We'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Wow, that's a lot to take in. He will be great. Jesus is the greatest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He's going to be a king. Isaiah chapter 9, if you would like to turn there. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Prophesied hundreds of years earlier. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You see that on Christmas cards. Government will be upon his shoulders. See, one day this son is coming back to rule and reign here for 1,000 years. Thank God that you've already submitted to him, because you will rule and reign with him during that time. We come back with him. He will be great. He's the greatest. The son of God. That's who he is. He will be called the Son of the Highest. No doubt about it. He's the Savior, the Messiah. And so it was prophesied hundreds of years earlier. And he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's going to give him, verse 32, the throne of his father David. He's in that line of David. As we see in the genealogy that Mary and David are through that line. The kingly line, the line of David. He's the Messiah sitting on the throne. In Revelation 19, we read about him coming back to rule and reign with us, the saints. And verse 33, it tells us, and he will reign over his, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This kingdom will not have an end. All other kingdoms have ended. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a kingdom in heaven where it's perfect? It's always a nice day. And we're never hungry. And we don't have to sleep. That's great. I think we forget what we have coming. I wonder if we're going to think back when we get to heaven and say, why in the world was I ever concerned about that down there? This is so wonderful. And it's for a long time. I remember as a kid when you'd hear about eternity, you try to get it in your mind and you're going out eternity, and it never ends. It's hard to comprehend, but it's never going to end. Always good. He will reign forever, and we're part of that reign with him. Then after these unbelievable words given to Mary, in verse 34 she says, Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? Well, of course she knows Joseph. This is talking about being intimate with him. Yeah, I haven't had sexual relations with a man. How can this be that I have this son? We're not even married. You know, so how can it be? Well, when you look at this statement, it's not a question of doubt. It's not one of those, it's not in the form where we would use, well, that can't possibly be. It's, wow, that's great. How's this going to happen? It's not a question of doubt, but you're intrigued by, wow, how's this going to work out? She's thinking in her head, we don't even have sexual relations. How's this going to work out? How it will be accomplished? She's a virgin, and she wants to stay that way. This is puzzling, but she's interested. I'm not intimate with Joseph. What's going to happen here? A good question. It speaks of her purity. Hey, how's it going to be? We don't have sexual relations. So we see her honor, her morality. That's a good question. She was not about to help God out. She didn't say, oh, okay, I guess I'll go into Joseph, we'll get pregnant, and we'll have a child. No. When God tells us something, you know what's the good news? We don't have to work it out. He does. But as in the flesh, what do? We often want to work it out because it's not happening in my time. God told me this at 9:30 this morning, and it hasn't happened yet. You see, we want to get in there and help God out. Oh, maybe he wants us to go have some sexual relationship here. No, she was interested how God was going to do this. She wanted to remain pure, obedient to God. That's a pretty good question. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? You see, we're not in that type of a relationship. We're promised to marry. That's a real tight situation here, betrothed, but we're not having sexual relations yet. In verse 35, he gave her the answer. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So here's the miracle. How? I'm not going to be disobedient, but I believe God this is happening. This will happen, but how? Well, how? God has his ways. And you know what we call those ways? Miracles. We call those miracles. When we get to the end of ourselves, then God can take over. The best counsel I could give myself or anyone is let go and let God. Quit. continue to worship God, honor him, just like the other couple was, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth and Joseph and Mary. Continue to be faithful to God. Continue to live your life before the Lord and let God handle the details. What do we do in the flesh? We handle the details. And we ask God to bless it. God says, get your hands off, Jim. I gave you a promise. It's going to happen. And it'll happen his way and in his time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Each day, he will show you what to do. You see? So we have to just let God do it. And he says, God, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. This will be from God. The power of the highest will overshadow you. So that the Holy One, and the Holy One is Jesus, who is to be born, will be called the Son of God. This is called divine intervention in an immaculate conception. An immaculate conception by God. The Holy Spirit will come upon her. The child will be carried the way a normal child is carried. Divine intervention conceived by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he will be called the Son of God. And then he came in his humanity to be called the Son of Man and identify with man, because he was born in that natural way. Human, he was placed in the womb of Mary, nurtured and born naturally. Divine nature, Jesus produced by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. It's a virgin birth, a basic Christian doctrine. A virgin conceived. And that's the way it was prophesied to be in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7, 14. Hundreds and hundreds of years before this took place, it says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Like we went over so many prophecies last week, I find it hard to believe once a person is given the facts here that they will not believe. Things were prophesied and scrolls were found, and these things were written hundreds of years before they happened, and they happened. And they're miracles because they're not naturally things that would happen. So how can a person not believe? It's because they don't want to believe. Humanly, 0%. Supernaturally, 100% this would happen. Many times people come up to me and say, well, what are the chances of that happening? And I always say, 100% if God's in it. You can't beat God's odds. When he's in something, it's going to happen 100%. So you don't have to worry. Holy One will be called a Son of God. That's not difficult. God uses a virgin. The Holy Spirit comes upon her. Jesus is conceived in her womb. And it's through the power of God, so that he will be carried naturally and born in this world like all children are born. Why is that important, that he's God's son? Because the Old Testament pointed to things that would happen in the New Testament. The Levitical system, the sacrifices, where you would present a spotless lamb without spot and blemish, would be presented as the sacrifice and atonement for sin. Jesus, John the Baptist, said, here comes the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the spotless Lamb of God, and always like us, except without sin. He's that sacrificial lamb now, so we don't go and present the sacrifice anymore in the temple. He came once and for all, for all. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone in here didn't have to come in this morning bringing a lamb or a dove or something or a pigeon or something. Once and for all, we have the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the spotless lamb, without spot or blemish, sinless, always like us except without sin. God used this godly couple to bring into the world and raise Jesus, but it was a virgin birth. Zacharias and Elizabeth, we read last week, were a godly couple. God used them. Now, Mary's given some encouragement here in verse 36. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. He says, the angel tells her, you know, I've done this for your cousin, Elizabeth. Only they conceived naturally, but they were past the age of childbearing, but they were able to do it. and they have a son, having a son. And she's 6 months pregnant already. Just to comfort you and have someone to talk with. God works miracles. So some comfort for her and encouragement. And then verse 37, these great words. He says, you know what, Mary? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Because the first thing she's probably thinking of, that is impossible. If any of you women here have had a child, you know there's only one way to get pregnant. And Mary's thinking, well, you don't have any sexual relations. Kind of wondering, wow, this is going to be interesting how this happens. Then he tells her, and then he says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Nothing. That's, Mary was given some encouragement and then told that, hey, this is not a problem. Now, you notice Gabriel's telling her this? And Gabriel tells us is God's messenger was standing by the Lord in heaven. He says, Mary, take it from me. I'm standing by the throne of God, and believe it, I'm a firsthand witness of events that happen up here. And I'm telling you, nothing is impossible for God. I've seen a lot. Can you imagine the angel telling her, boy, if you saw what I saw, you would have no doubt. Because I know nothing is impossible with God. And then we see in verse 38. Now, when we're told something, that's where we come in. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. She didn't say, wait a minute, I've got 50 questions here. She simply said, I'm your servant, God, let it be. That's the life of peace. Not trying to understand. Not using human reasoning. Believing in miracles. And she simply says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. I'm just the Lord's servant. Let it be according to your word. And the angel departed from her. What a simple way to live. Simply submits to the angel. Considers herself a servant of the Lord, as impossible as it seems. What we see here is a godly couple receiving miracles from God. The birth of Christ is all about miracles. And maybe today you need a miracle. And in your own flesh and mind, you're thinking, this is impossible. You hang on to this verse. For with God, nothing will be impossible. With you, yes. With me, yes. But with God, nothing will be impossible. But you must believe and submit to him that, yes, this will happen. Be in fellowship with God. Pray. Carry on. Then we turn back to Matthew 1. We covered Mary. Now we cover Joseph. Matthew 1. Mary submits to God, his plan, as difficult as it sounds, but it's not impossible. What about Joseph? Remember, they were betrothed to one another. This was a big deal. It was a promise to Mary that you would be married. It was so serious that if a woman became pregnant during this betrothal period, it would be considered adultery. She did something wrong. And could be stoned. You read that in Deuteronomy 22. That's how serious this was. You've promised to marry, but you're going to remain pure. And if you did something in between there, you could be stoned. That's how serious it was. So verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that's the way it was, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Joseph knows it's not his child. They had no sexual relations yet. You know, I can't imagine what he's thinking right now. Wow. She was such a godly woman. We had such a great relationship. We're just excited about waiting to get married. You know, there were many Jewish boys called Jesus Yeshua in the Hebrew at that time. It was a common name. But this is no ordinary Jesus that's to be born. You know, when you read in Matthew 1, verse 1, it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David and the son of Abraham. We have this genealogy to show us that he's separate from all the others, because it tells us who the parents would be. You know, this is his genealogy. And when you go down to verse 16, and Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary. You notice it doesn't say the father of Jesus, because then in Luke it gives us the genealogy of Mary. The husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So he's the husband of Mary, but he's the son of God, because it was conceived by the Holy Spirit, by God. So that's the Jesus the angel is going to be talking to him about. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, he's an upright man, a good man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. He loves Mary. He didn't want to embarrass her or have her suffer the consequences. He didn't want people to know. He wanted to take care of that secretly, you know, not have her stoned. So they talked about putting her away secretly because he loved her. He didn't want her to have any trouble. But while he thought about, you know, he's probably thinking of a plan he can come up with. And while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's confirmation here. Hey, Joseph, don't put her away. Don't come up with a plan. Don't think about what to do. You know, isn't it great when you have a problem in life, you have trouble, you're in a difficult situation, and you don't know what to do, and then you seek the Lord, and he gives you an answer. Isn't that wonderful? I love it when he gives you an answer. There are so many impossible situations in life, to us, seemingly impossible. And there are times you don't know what to do. What should I do? And this is so wonderful. I wish it were this way, where an angel just came to me and told me. But I have the Holy Spirit. Same thing. I have God. It's even better. I'm indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And I pray for wisdom from above. And God speaks. My problem is, if nothing's being said, I get impatient. I got to help the Lord out. Just wait on the Lord. If it's time to do something, he'll tell you. You know, in this situation, it doesn't make sense. And so, you know, he's got a plan to somehow put her away quietly. And so an angel, you know, sometimes my greatest fear is that I do something wrong that the Lord doesn't want me to do. What about you? I don't like to make a mistake. I don't want to be out of God's will. And so my biggest concern is that sometimes I'll make my own decision and it's not the Lord's. So I pray, please, if I'm on the wrong path or doing the wrong thing, turn it around or turn me around, Lord. Do something to stop it or block my way. Because I just don't know what to do. And you know what the Lord does? He'll stop it, or he'll make it impossible to go any further. You know, like Paul was prohibited from preaching in Asia there for a while because he had to go to Europe. And so it says, I was prohibited here. I was prohibited here. Sometimes we just need to pray, God, stop me if I'm on the wrong path. And he will. And so Joseph's got a plan, but God says, Joseph's about to come up with a plan. Gabriel, get down here and tell him what I'm doing here. It's also the angel comes. It doesn't say Gabriel, but I'm wondering if it was, because it was Mary, to Mary. He says, hey, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is not because she was unfaithful or by another man. It's because he's conceived by the Holy Spirit, this baby. This is the baby Jesus. And verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. Why? Because he'll save his people from their sins. Romans chapter 5, please. Verse 18 and 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men and resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, we're all part of the Adams family, and we're all part of Jesus' family. That's the way I look at it. And the Adams family wasn't good, but we're all part of that, but we're also part of Jesus' family because we're born again. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, so all of this was prophecy 700 years earlier. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So God with us, Jesus, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came to be with us, spent time with us, to seek and to save that which was lost. How wonderful. Quickly, just turn to 1 John chapter 1. This always interests me, 1 John chapter 1. Did you ever think of what the disciples thought once Jesus resurrected and went to heaven? When they thought back, wow, did I ever say anything wrong with him? Did I ever, you know, did I ever do something wrong and he saw me? And he was right there? 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of God. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus. He says, wow, we looked upon him, we heard him, we handled him. Wow. If only I could go back again. Boy, would I be different. Knowing that he was really the one, you know. And so it's God with us, Emmanuel. That's really basically what he is, God with us. Verse 23, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife. Here we see Joseph's faith and what kind of a man he is. No sexual relations until she brought forth her firstborn son. There is no making your own plan. He's by faith accepting the fact that she is pregnant by God. That's a big deal because it's never happened. That's faith. It shows us the faith of Mary and Joseph. And good things happen to faithful people. As we remain faithful and loyal to God, God uses us as his instruments to do mighty things. That's why we need to be in that place of the blessings of God. Keep ourselves there, that faithful, obedient place. This was an ordinary couple, less than ordinary, living in less than an ordinary village. And God chose them because they were godly. And then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel commanded and took to him his wife. He says, I believe it. I'll marry her. And he did not know her, which means no intimate relations, until she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like the angel said to do. You know, there's a doctrine of Jesus having no other brothers and sisters, and Mary being immaculate till the time of her death. That's false. Because in the Bible, we see that, brothers and sisters. That's false to believe that, because it says he didn't have nowhere till after she brought forth her firstborn son, you see. Then he did. And we'll end with this. Turn to Mark 6, verse 3. Mark 6, verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. He had family. He had brothers and sisters. And it even tells us in the Bible that his brothers didn't believe in him till after the resurrection. So Joseph and Mary, and next week we get into Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your powerful miracles, and we thank you that miracles still happen today, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I pray our hearts would pledge allegiance to you and not get involved in the things of the world which would carry us away from you. Lord, you are what our life is all about. You gave up your son's life, Father, to give us a real life, an eternal life. And that's what we celebrate. We thank you that you gave us a gift, and we pray that doors would open where we could give the gift of Jesus to those around us. Lord, it's so wonderful to be saved, to know that we'll forever be with you. No cares, no worries, nothing but joy everlasting. How wonderful. But while we're here, Lord, use us. Help us to be good examples, godly people, representing you, not conforming to the world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.